I guess I'm preaching, ain't I? Oh, we don't have a special, are we? Oh, well. You know, in Baptist churches, we always do the same thing. And this is the time for us to sing. So, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Now, I'm going to sing that in a minute. Turn, if you will. See, I'm driving you crazy today. That's my dream, to drive y'all crazy. Yeah. Oh, Lordy, we just thank the Lord for blessing us. Turn in your Bible to Revelation 3, chapter 10. And visitors, I'm not always like this. Sometimes I'm worse. Revelation 3, 10 says, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you in the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for this passage of Scripture. Lord, I know this week that as I looked at this, Lord, I know that you told me that I need to preach this message. And God, I thank you for revealing that to me. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch people's hearts this morning. And we'll give you all the glory, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. You see, this passage of Scripture refers to people who are traveling down the road of life. Now, this morning, a number of people are living on the road. They're on the road with their motorhomes, their travel trailers, and they literally live on the road. They're not tied down. They don't have a house. Their house is their motorhome. But you know what? Many people today are traveling, and yet they're on the road, but not the highways in which we are talking about then. They're on the road that the Bible says of destruction. For the Bible says, wide is the highway, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. There's a road in human history in which you travel. The Bible says there's a narrow way and a wide way. So you're either on one or the two today. Now notice the last part of verse 10. It says simply that those who dwell on the earth, those who dwell upon the earth, there is a biblical description of those who have decided to live their life on the wide road, on the wide and road that leads to destruction. They live their lives only for this world. And the Bible says they dwell upon the earth. They dwell upon the earth. And this description is never used to describe God's children. It's always used to describe those earth dwellers, those who are on the road to destruction. The Bible says they don't believe and they don't belong to the family of God. They're living their life upon this world. The Bible says in Hebrews, Abraham dwelt in tents because he considered himself a stranger and a pilgrim in this world. He didn't dwell upon the earth. He looked for that home in glory. He looked for that place that God had prepared for him. The Bible says in John 14:1, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," he says, "I will come again." Now I'll sing that song. You can sing it with me. I'm a tent dweller. I'm a pilgrim. And this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I don't feel at home in this old world anymore. Folks, I don't feel at home dwelling on the earth. This world is not my final resting place. You see, I have a mansion up there in glory. Isn't it good to know today that if you're God's children, one day the Bible says you have a place prepared for Him. The Bible says we'll be caught up in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now the Bible talks about the earth dwellers. And I want you to think about that today. You're dwelling upon the earth. What did I say about it? When it refers to earth dwellers, it's referring to those who are living for this world only. They don't have any hope. They don't have a place. Well, the Bible says we can see several things about earth dwellers. And there are several things I want you to notice this morning about these earth dwellers that might help you decide which road that you're going to travel. For you're going to travel one of the two. You're going to travel, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, the wide road that leads to destruction. That's the earth dwellers. Or you'll choose the narrow road that leads to eternal life, that leads to God's kingdom. And the Bible says, here's some words that fall upon these people. There will be great fear for the earth dwellers. One day, praise God, I hope it's soon, Jesus Christ will return. Folks, Jesus is our only hope in this world today. You look around you. You look how dark this world is getting. Every single day becomes more outrageous than yesterday. There's more of the lust of the flesh. There's more of the desires of this world going on every single day. And Jesus says, one day I will return. Some will be taken. That's the born again people. And some will be left. That's the earth dwellers. Now let me tell you, if you're left, there's going to be a great fear. Can you imagine the fear that will come upon people's life when all the born-again people in this old world, all of God's believers are caught out, are caught up, are taken away? I can tell you right now, think of all the confusion. The husbands will be looking for that saved wife. The children will be looking for that saved parent. The wives will be looking for that saved husband. Children will look for their parents and vice versa. The Lord has come. He's come for His own. And all that's left on this earth are the earth dwellers. Those who have never trusted Christ. Is that your life? What are you living for this morning? What are you living for? I didn't say you belong to a church. What are you living for? Is it Christ or is it the world? Have you got your priorities in the world? Then the Bible says you'll be left behind. Are you an earth dweller? You see, businesses, I believe businesses will lose their best employees, the best workers. And that's the way it ought to be. Christians ought to be the best workers somebody can have. Our country ought to, they'll lose the best employees, the best lawmakers, the best teachers. Think of all the people that will be missing when God comes back. Think of all the influence that believers have upon this world. And think a moment about every saved person in this church is gone. And you're left sitting there in that pew. The Bible says there'll be a great fear upon the face of those who are left. The Bible says that Christians are the light of the world. Folks, think about it just a moment. When the light is gone, the Bible says it'll be in darkness. And you are the light of the world. And think about all the darkness that will be left. This old world is not going to last forever. One day, the Bible says, the heavens and earth will pass away. Every single thing will be gone. And the Bible says in Revelation that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. So if you make a decision to dwell here upon the earth, that is a tragic mistake upon your part. You see, you're traveling on that road, one of the two. You're living for the world, you're living to dwell upon this earth, or you're living for God. Which one is it this morning? 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, the Bible talks about those who choose to live on this earth. They will follow what the Bible calls is the Antichrist. And it says, for this cause, God will send a strong delusion upon those people, and they will believe the lie. The lie. For what cause will they believe the lie? Oh, the previous verse tells you, because they received not the love of the truth. They received not Jesus Christ into their life. They were living for the world. They were dwelling upon the earth. They said no to God over and over and over again. So when God comes and takes his people out, the Antichrist is here, they're going to believe the lie, the lie, the lie. And there are many today who are vying for your life, and you don't even know it. Many today want to steal your mind and steal your heart, and you either believe God's truth or you will believe the lie. Folks, don't believe the lie. The world says keep yourself living in the flesh, and God says keep yourself pure. You are the temple of God. When I think about the temple of God, I think about Brother Jay's teaching a Bible study on Revelation. Now on Tuesday, don't miss it, Tuesday, 2 o'clock, if you're here and you can be here, let me tell you, it's good. Have you ever thought about the Holy Spirit living inside of you? He's there. If you have asked him to come in, he's there. And every time you go out and live in the flesh, every time you go out and live in the world, you're dragging God's presence there. Oh, how it must embarrass him for you to live in the flesh. Oh, how it must degrade him to drag him someplace he doesn't really want to go. You see, that's the world. And the world says, oh, you're just like an animal. Live it up. You'll believe that lie. The Bible says, live for Christ. 2 Thessalonians 9 says, the world will follow the lying wonders. The lying wonders of the Antichrist. The world will follow the lying wonders of the Antichrist. Wonders. What are wonders? What are the lying wonders? Well, the lying wonders that the world wants you to follow is things that will deceive you. Things that will tear you away from God. Things that will drag you down. The wrong values. That's what the world wants you to follow. Young people, we got young people all over this place. The world wants to tell you there's no hope, that you're to follow your flesh. You're to follow your desires. You might as well live like you want to. That's a lying wonder. The TV, watch that, and it just shows you all the filth in the world today. I'm so disgusted with the television programs. They're none worth watching. Amen. And even as I even look at the sports, they're turned filthy. Man, when guys making millions of dollars can't get along, get out there and fight like a bunch of high school kids upon the field, what does the world come to? When they have to take drugs to make them perform better, what's the world turn to? When they got a mistress in every town that they go to, what does the world turn to? You see, the world says, follow this way. These guys are the heroes. No, they're not. they're doing that kind, they're the zeros in life. You see, God created human nature to have a need, I believe, for wonder. Have you ever noticed how little boys and little girls wonder? Oh, I can watch them for hours. Man, they get out there and they play, and you would think they have the king and the queen, and they put on all kinds of tea parties, and they just have an imagination. And I enjoy watching little kids and their imagination. One asked me one time, says, "Preacher, how can a man fly?" And I thought, now, how can a man fly? I don't think he can. Well, how did they make men fly? And I said, "You believe in a plane?" And they said, "Yeah." "How can that big metal thing get to fly?" Well, I'm no engineer. I'm no expert on flight. But I know one thing. They fly. And I trust them when they go up to get me down. But little kids do wonder about things like that, and I still wonder about it. I'm wondering about these telephones nowadays. How in the world can a picture go from one place to the other place on a line, through the air? My boy called me this morning and said, "Happy Father's Day from around the world." And, you know, I'm wondering how it got over here so quick. But it did. But God created human nature to wonder. And it's fantastic. So the devil is going to try to deceive or create his own wonders. And they will be lying wonders these days. When Jesus walked on the face of the earth, the Bible says he did many wonders. He made the blind to see. And man, that's a wonder. He made the lame to walk. He made the dead to rise. He made the deaf to hear. Oh, but the wonders of all wonders is how the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ comes into your life and changes you from a sinner to a saved person. Oh, that's a wonder. How in the world did God take this old filthy life and change it to what I am today? That's a marvelous wonder. George Beverly Shea saying, "The wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me." Folks, have you ever thought about that? God so loved you. Ain't that a wonder? Why would he love me so much that he would die for me? Why would he love you so much that he would die for you? I don't know, but I know one thing. He did. He changed my life. And that is an amazing wonder. Don't ever lose the wonder of Christ. But the Bible says the earth dwellers have followed the lying wonder. And folks, fear will be upon their life in that last day. So think about the fear that the earth dwellers will face. Not only that, the Bible goes on and tells us there'll be some tribulation. You see, the road continues for the saints of God are gone. But just because the saints of God are gone doesn't mean the earth will quit to exist. The road will continue. And the Bible says in Revelation 2:22, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation." There's going to be a time upon this earth, the Bible says, that not only fear will fall upon every person because the born again are gone, but there's also going to be a great time of tribulation in which this world has never seen before. Now, do you want to be here during that time? You will. If you're an earth dweller, it is so awful for those who have chosen this world. In Revelation 13, let me find it. Here it is. "Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a great beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his dead wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Folks, let me tell you something. It's going to be an awful time this time. It's a description of, if you look at this, it is a description of a one world government under the leadership of the Antichrist. I hope I got that right, Brother Jay. Brother Jay is sharpening that revelation. But let me tell you something. One world government. We don't need that. But that's what it's going to come to. And it's all going to be under the Antichrist. Man, this world is going to be in shock. I hope you don't believe everything politicians say. There's some good politicians out there. But I hope you don't believe everything they say. I hope you don't believe everything that, well, our president says. Because I think sometimes he stretches the truth a little bit. Now, someone said if you took all the politicians in Washington and you stretched them all the way around the world, you'd never come to a conclusion. I think when they ask a question today, they think, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." I found that they don't know nothing. Now, they talk one way and they govern the other, and folks, we keep voting them in there. And this is not a political speech, but I don't know why in the world we don't change things with our vote next time. When the tribulation comes and the earth dwellers will be under one rule politically, the old Antichrist is saying, "You have chosen the world, and here's my rules." Folks, let me listen. One world economy, the mark of the beast. You'll have to have it. You'll have to have it to buy or trade. It's gonna be that way. You go and look in Revelation 14, verse 9. "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand," man, you see, the word "receive" means they literally rushed after this beast. They followed after the Antichrist. And the earth dwellers have made their choice. One world politically, one world economically, and one world religiously. Folks, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here during that time of tribulation, because when the saints are gone, when the Holy Spirit's gone, it's darkness. It's chaos. One world religion. In those days, the walls of separation of church and state will all come down. And we won't have a choice to where we want to go and worship. The Antichrist will place himself as God. And he will demand that you worship him as God. Folks, that's going to be a terrible time upon this earth. I want no part of it. I don't want to be on the road that leads to destruction. I don't want my name to be called an earth dweller. For I am a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth. Revelation 13 says, verse 8 says, "And all that," once again, "dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life." If you won't take Christ this morning, you're taking the Antichrist. You're dwelling upon the earth. You've got your hooks in the earth. Fear when all the people are gone that are saved. tribulation upon this earth like you've never seen before. And then a third word I want you to think about of the earth dwellers is condemnation. Look at Revelation 6, verse 10. Revelation 6, verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who, what? Dwell on the earth. Once again, those words, dwell upon the earth, are the unfaithful, the ones who are traveling the road to destruction. And the question is, how long is it going to be, Lord, until you judge those who dwell upon the earth? Well, verse 12, it goes on. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. You see, the sun becomes black in that time. The moon turns as blood. The stars begin to fall from heaven. And the earth departs as a scroll. And the mountains and the islands are moved. It is given a picture here of the earth dwellers dwelling on earth, and the earth is in chaos, and the old earth is falling to pieces. And in the years past, when I preached on the end of time and the coming of the Lord, people have laughed in the past and said, oh, it's not possible. It's not likely. But let me tell you something. When North Korea has a nuclear weapon, and when they figure out how to get it to the United States, let me tell you something, it won't be a laughing matter then. These people are not afraid to use it, especially on us. And nobody laughs today at 2 Peter verse 3 about the elements burning with fire and the earth being dissolved. That is simply the results of a nuclear chain reaction. Folks, it's no laughing matter when the Bible says, or God's word says, listen, there's a great condemnation upon the earth in those days. There's a great tribulation. Scientists tell us today that when a nuclear chain reaction will disintegrate the universe. And folks, I believe it's going to happen. I believe it's going to happen. But you know what? There's also spiritual disintegration. In verse 15, it says, the kings of the earth. Look at that. The kings of the earth. In verse 15 of chapter 6. The great men and the rich men. The commanders. The mighty men. Every slave. And every free man hid themselves in caves and in rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, won't you fall on us to hide us from the faith of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb? For a great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Let me tell you something. There's spiritual disintegration when the kings of the earth are no longer kings. They're no longer mighty men. They're just earth dwellers in the wrath of God. Folks, some men say, we came from a cave. I don't know if we came from a cave or not, but the Bible says if we dwell on the earth, we're going to run to the caves. We're going to try to hide ourselves, but you can't hide from God. You can't hide from God. You can't hide from God's destruction. When he annihilates the earth, he will annihilate the earth. Oh, man. I like it when people tell me they believe in the Big Bang Theory. That this earth was created by an explosion out there in the universe. I don't know if it was a big bang or not, But it tells me it's going to end with one. Folks, let me tell you something. You have a choice today. This is Father's Day. Man, we had a lot of fathers here a while ago. I pray that every father here today will live your life following after God, because you're leading your family. The Bible says, men, you're responsible for your family. God has placed you at the head of the house. You know what that means? You're the head of that family. When your children are walking on the road to destruction, you are leading them that way. I've got grandchildren now. I don't want them to die and go to hell. I want them to know about Jesus Christ. I love it when they come and say, "Papa, can you do this for us?" And I'm able to do that for them. But you know what? I'm also able to tell them about Jesus. And I pray one day they'll come to me and sit in my lap and say, "Papa, would you tell me about Jesus? Tell me about the man that, or the God that you live for." Man, don't you know that'll thrill your heart? When they say, "Tell me about the Lord. Tell me about who you're living for today." And I can sit down and I can share with them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, how he loves me and he loves you, and how he gave his life for you. And if you will trust him as your Lord and Savior, he will come into your heart and you won't be an earth dweller, but you'll be one of those that live on the straight and narrow. The world says you're stupid for doing that. You're missing all the fun. I don't think so. When I look at what the Bible says about the earth dwellers, that ain't no fun there. Next week I'm going to be preaching on hell. I want you to come listen to what hell is. If you miss it, you're going to miss a blessing, because you don't want to go there. And you don't want your children to go there. And you don't want your family to go there. Folks, it's no laughing matter. This thing about God, this thing about walking on the highway, every one of us have a responsibility. Right now, you have a choice to make. You can either choose this world and be an earth dweller, or you can live for God and dwell in heaven. That's your choice. I can't do it for you. I pray for you. I love you. I want you to come. I want you to be on the right road. But I can't choose that for you. I can only do it for myself. Back when Brother Bob was here, man, he preached. And if you missed him, you missed a blessing. I really believe I'd kind of lost my song. When he preached that message, it was like God was speaking straight to me. I know a lot of you lost your song, and some of you got it back. But that night when he gave that message, invitation, I came down and I knelt down on the altar there and I said, "God, more than anything else, I want that song back. I want that fellowship, that relationship with you like it used to be." You know, it got to be kind of a burden to be a pastor. I took my eyes off God's son, put them on you. And I said, "Lord, it just seems like a struggle each day." Oh, but when I said, "Lord, it's not me. It's got to be you. It's got to be you first in my life. I want my song back. I want the joy Like old David said, the joy of my salvation back. And you know what? Just an instant, I prayed that prayer. I got up, and I was a new person. He gave me that song back. He gave me that joy back. I hope I don't lose it again. But I know if I lose it, I know where to find it. Right where I left God out. If you left God out this morning, and you want that joy to come back in your life, you want to start living again for Him, you've got a choice to make. Which will you choose this morning? To dwell upon the earth and be a part of all the earth dwellers, or come to know Jesus? Get your joy back, your fellowship back. All you have to do is come by faith. You know, it's so easy, a little child can do it. He says, if we confess. You know what that means? If you will agree with God. If we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. 1 John 1, 9 says to the Christians, if we confess, God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. That's where I was. I was already saved. But I just needed to confess, Lord, I've lost that joy. I've lost that, what I had, and I want it back. And He said, you got it. Just that like that, just that instant, you got it. All you need to do is ask for it. That's how quick God is, folks. All you have to do is ask Him this morning. You can say, Lord, I'm traveling the wrong road. I want to get on the straight and narrow. I don't want to be an earth dweller. Some of you have been saved, and if you're saved, that's great. But if you've left God out, you need to come down and kneel at the altar and say, Lord, I want my joy back. I'm going to be back in your house. I'm going to live to raise my children that they might go to heaven. You see, I don't want to go to heaven and get there and find out that all my children didn't make it. My grandchildren didn't make it because I never told them. Something to think about. Would you make a choice today to choose God in your life? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today for Your blessings. God, I thank You that we have a choice to make as fathers, Lord, that leaders of our homes, that we'll choose the right path. And Lord, bring us back to that good relationship with You. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.